When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, hello, Shift listeners and Patreon listeners. This is going to be kind of annoying for the Patreon heads because I'm just doing a solo episode for the Shift. Which means you guys got a double solo this week, but I'll try not to repeat myself, and I'm going to try and sort of rework the Patreon a bit, because I think doing one solo a week is probably too much, and then trying to get a guest every week for the Shift is becoming way too hard now that it's all back in real life. So might do more solo episodes for the Shift and then just do two long bonus solo episodes for the Patreon, and I'll still do, like, I have a bunch of interviews lined up, but just when I can't get someone, I'll just either do solo or have Leland on. And then this is a good example of what the Patreon is. So if you ever want to come over to the Patreon, except for I just talk about a bit more private stuff, feels like sometimes like a bit of a therapy session. But yeah, and for this week's episode on the solo in the Patreon, the bonus, I talked about going to the Katie Taylor fight, and watching, and just a bit more in detail about watching the porn. So shocking, some of this stuff. But, you know, me and Leland already talked about it. I did say this on the solo Patreon. I will say it was, and I think I said this on last week's episode, the only thing for me was it was amazing how, when you're not watching that, like, me just seeing naked people was, like, a turn on. So, like, I'm so not desensitized to any of this stuff. So I'm kind of happy because, you know, I kind of need that now, and maybe every once in a while I don't even need to see anything too crazy, just like two naked people touching each other, and I'm like, oh Jesus, this is great. So yeah, there is something to be said. Like, I remember, maybe I should see if this comedian can come on and talk about it, but he had to stop watching porn because he had like a porn addiction and wasn't able to orgasm or like come with women during sex because of it. So he had to like stop, and he had to stop masturbating and like get himself back to a level. But I think he did. I remember him talking about it on stage. So I must reach out to him and see if he'll ever come on and talk to me on the podcast. And on Thursday night, next week's episode will be up early on the Patreon, because my friend who, I've breathed a lot lately. Oh, do any of us ever struggle with that? I just feel out of breath all the time. I really just need to exercise. But anyway, she just got engaged. She's a comedian. She's all the reason why I started comedy, because I saw her in New York and I was like, oh my god, women are so funny. I just never really watched comedy. I never really saw a lot of stand-up other than Tommy Tiernan, and I binged him when I was younger, and then that was it. Like, it never occurred to me to do it, and then I saw her here at a show when I first moved over, and I was like, oh my god, women are so funny. I want to do this. I want to be like her. So it'd be great to have her on. Also, she's very open about having bipolar, so I wanted to ask her a few questions about that, because I do think mental health is still like needs to be destigmatized, is that the word, in Ireland? Because I think Ireland has a really bad attitude, had in the past anyway, with mental health, and I think people were always afraid to get diagnosed in case they'd be judged, whereas it's like, in my not professional opinion, but just in my opinion, I think that it's way better to get diagnosed, get the help that you need, and get your life on track. And so many comedians that I know have like varying different mental health issues that they're very open about here, because, you know, well, A, people in America are way more open about stuff like that. They just don't give a fuck, and it's great. And then comedians as well, I guess, are a bit more like more willing to share about themselves, because we just, you know, I guess we don't care as much, and we put a lot of our public life on display. But like, most of my comedy friends have something that they're very open about and say that their life has been so much better since they got diagnosed and then got the help that they needed. And like whether that's depression or the different types of bipolar or borderline, you know, PTSD, all the things. So I think it's just so annoying that there's any shame associated with that. And it should be, no, like, go get yourself, like, try out the different things, see different professionals. And I just think it's very hard in Ireland. It's just, like, it's even hard in New York. And I think the hardest part of it is actually just doing the work. It's the same with me and exercise, and I really need to exercise. I'm fucking so unfit. The doctors have said it to me multiple times that it's like I've low white blood cells, you just need to exercise. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just hate exercising. Plus, I have rosacea, so it makes me really, really red. And then it's so annoying because people point that. That's also as well. Anybody listen, if someone has a red face, you don't need to point them out. We can feel it, okay? I remember one time being out with people and my face was really red and they were like, are you upset? Are you upset? But then I was making my face redder and I wasn't upset. I just have rosacea. And it just it flares up. God knows what. It could be booze. It could be food. It could be, I didn't wear sun cream that day. And then, and if you add emotions, that, so then people start pointing out it's going red and redder, and they're like, "You're not okay, you're not okay." And then there was like multiple people saying it to me, and I was like, "For fuck's sake, leave me alone." But yeah, so I, as I'm saying, the only reason why I say about the exercise is because I'm being a complete hypocrite in saying, because I know that I need to do that. But for anybody listening who has any mental health, like I wish I had have went to therapy 10 years ago, but I didn't want to. I was terrified I would go and they would. I that was the reason why I didn't want to go, because I didn't want to be diagnosed with something. And I thought, oh, I couldn't handle that if I was. You know, I didn't want to be, I didn't want to be like what I'd kind of seen growing up. But in hindsight, now I know that was seeing someone undiagnosed. And maybe if that person had gotten the help that they need and gotten the tablets that they need or gotten the therapy, whatever type of therapy, maybe that would have been a completely different situation. So yeah, and me going to therapy, and like also it was amazing because firstly it's life-changing, because straight away you're validated in your experiences. Because like I said this on the solo podcast, there's a little bit of repetition, but a friend recently was like, who was like super anti-therapy, and was like, but you could have just talked all that out to your friends. And I was like, yeah, but I was always talking to my friends for years. And a big thing is like, you feel embarrassed to tell them the full extent. You don't want to feel like a victim, and then you feel a bit silly. And then like, I think it's a very Irish thing as well to be like, oh no, I'm grand, even though inside you're not, and you just want to get on with things. And then so you kind of are just pushing it down. And then it comes out in other ways. So you think you're fine. And then for me, I was having like night terrors every night, sleep paralysis. And so just having someone that I pay, and now I'm only paying $15 a month or a session. So it's like really, that's less than two drinks on a night out. So I can pay that. And for Americans, that's Valera Health. It's really great. That's the other thing as well. Oh, so sorry. What I was trying to say was, I think the hardest thing is actually figuring out how to do it. Like, we'll go, oh, it's too expensive, I can't do it. But if you actually ask around, you look into it, you'll find something that's right for you. So if you're living in America, if you're not making that much money, you'll get on health insurance, you'll get really cheap health insurance, and then you can find therapists who'll take that cheap health insurance, so like Valera Health, or you can look up therapists in training, and you're like, they're gonna want to do their best, so they're probably just as good as like a therapist who's been doing it long term. So there is different ways, and then you can find people who are like off the books. My friend got a guy who just takes cash and he loves him, he's having a great time with him, he's been with him for years, and I have seen the growth with him as well, because we talk a lot about therapy and like things he's learned. And anyway, so there is, it's just amazing. And the worst thing I thought was going to happen was they would be like, oh yeah, you're wrong, or you have this, or, but they're not going to do that. And if they do tell you that there's something and you might need a certain tablet or whatever, that's okay, you'll deal with that, you'll take it, and you'll figure out which tablets you need. And that's why I'm really excited to have her on, because it seems like she really got her life together and she's such an advocate for mental health. And my experience with therapy was like, she hasn't ever diagnosed me with anything. She just was like, okay, how can we, like, the first step was like, how can we help with getting rid of your nightmares? And I'm sure if we hadn't have gotten rid of that, maybe she would have tried other stuff. But she was just like, I really, like, yeah, stuff that maybe I could have Googled and found out myself. But it was like nice having a professional tell me that. And it helped because I don't have the fucking nightmares anymore. And I don't have the sleep paralysis guy, thank God, which was really creepy because it was a different guy in Ireland. It was like a little creature in Ireland and it was a man in the corner in America. So had me starting to believe in ghosts and, like, you know, creepy supernatural stuff, which is also kind of terrifying because I'm in a hotel on my room saying this now, has very Shining vibes. So supernatural, if you're here, please don't show yourself. I can't deal with it. My mental health is not strong enough yet. But and just also as well, getting to talk for 45 minutes selfishly, because I think that's another thing as well. Like if people are like me, I feel really guilty just dumping my problems on my friends. And it was funny, like what she did diagnose me with, and it's not like, but it was like things I would have never known. And it was so true when she said it. She said I had like, and this is stuff I've shared on the Patreon, the solo Patreon, but a fantasy, like a savior fantasies or something like that, which is like really embarrassing to admit. I didn't realize, but basically I guess in my subconscious I felt like I wasn't saved in the situation I was in, so I just want to help people all the time. And so in turn I was dating these kind of like fucked up guys, which makes a lot of sense because I dated a lot of fucked up guys, a lot of guys I was attracted to, guys with issues. And I loved helping them. And then I had all these friendships where the friendships were really built off me, like listening to their problems and trying to help. And I have like a lot of great friendships too. But a lot of the great friendships, those people didn't like overstep that boundary. But I didn't know how to put in those boundaries myself. So I'd had these other friendships where I was like kind of like an on-call therapist. And who the fuck do I think I am? Like, I'm not qualified to be giving out therapy. But, and then I would realize after she pointed this out that, oh, I needed to change certain aspects of my friendships and going forward, I need to put up those boundaries because it's not fair to them either. Like if I'm just like, I guess it's not fair to me, if I'm honest, but I just didn't realize that. And as well, I don't want that to be like my identity or like my personality where I'm just like always the friend that is there to help and do everything. And like, yeah, so it was like something I had to really think about myself and like change that. And I think that's the thing, like if you go to therapy, you know, they're going to point out things that like, oh, okay, yeah, I do that. And I need to work on that. Because I used to be very defensive and very protective and overly independent. And that was another thing with dating. I hated having anyone feel like I needed them. So I was very much like, I got it. I got this. And, you know, a part of dating is being vulnerable and letting somebody help you. So going through therapy has been amazing to like learn that. Or even like people, like remember we had, I didn't think it was Anwar White who said this on the podcast. So again, it's probably a bit of repetition, but how specifically Irish women are very independent. And then like that men like to be, you know, needed, like, or they like to help. That's how they show their love or whatever. I remember one time dating a guy and he was like trying to show me how to cook a steak. And I got like kind of snappy about it. I was like, I know how to cook a steak. But, you know, in hindsight, we wouldn't have never been a good match. But also I could have just been like, I could have just let him show me how to cook the steak. Like, it's not that end of the world. But yeah, it's kind of, yeah, kind of like it. And it would be annoying if he was constantly trying to show me how to do things, but also like let someone help you a little bit sometimes, you know, like let someone in. It's like being vulnerable. And that really helped with like me and Leland are together. Isn't this so sad that I'm recording this podcast right now when we're together a year? That sounds like the saddest thing ever. But no, he's at work and I'm also absolutely exhausted because it's a fucking nightmare to get here. But so he's in DC, so I reserved the 2 days off from all the comedy show clubs, like blocked it off. And you know, and it's a year, I haven't been with anybody for a year in a really long time. And I've been like always, and you guys know, like such a hopeless romantic, and dating like, and I dated some nice guys, but they just weren't suited for me, and dated some absolute nightmares. I feel like a journalist chasing the story sometimes. Like, I'm like, was I doing that for comedy? Because, but no, I don't even think it was for comedy. Like, great stories came out of it. But I also think it was just because of that, what the therapist said, and I'm forgetting the fucking name of it, but like, save your fantasies or whatever, just wanting to help people. Because, and that was a big part of it as well, was like, you know, you have to look at your dating history and be like, yeah, it's unlucky to date a couple of people, but like, after a while, when it's the same personality again and again, and like, I'm going out of my way to date those people, I had to look at myself. And I think that's really for anybody who wants a relationship and is dating the wrong people. I think that's the best advice I can give, is maybe like, I sound like a fucking Instagram meme now, but like, look at yourself, and why are you attracted to those people? Because, you know, I was attracted to that. That's why I identified all that, like, kind of drama and those kind of like, I guess emotionally abusive. Yeah, but you know, you have to just work through your issues and whatever your fucking childhood dramas are or whatever. And it could be anything, you know, it could be, and it's stuff you don't even probably realize. Like my therapist was saying, we all have triggers that we might not even know. So like, if I get in an argument with Leland, he has a trigger it could be something from his childhood that's it's not like necessarily anything big, but it's how he internalizes the information I'm giving him. So how do I explain this? Basically, like if I get mad, and if I like shout, I would never shout, but let's say if I'm like, I'm mad, and he'll kind of shut down. So we've had to learn to communicate, like, where I'm like, look, I'm only telling you from my perspective so you can understand where I'm coming from. And then he has to be like, okay, she's not, like, this isn't an attack or whatever. So like, even though he's had like a great upbringing and a great childhood, there's probably something that, some reason why he kind of gets into that shutdown mode. And he's had to work on that too. But that's only because my fucking therapist told me, and I communicated that back to him. And, you know, and he was able to be like, okay, yeah, and you just need to give me time to process whatever you're saying. And I'm like, okay, grand. So now I know he'll just take like a minute. It's like the words are just, they land in his brain, and then he just needs to kind of just sit with it, understand what I'm saying, look at it from my perspective, that it's not like, and then be like, oh, okay, I get where you're coming from. But like, we wouldn't have figured that out if it wasn't for my therapist. So I have to say, best $15 a week I've ever spent. And yeah, so sorry, we're together here today, he's at work. But I said, oh, okay, I'll get the, and I fucking hate getting up early, because this is why I love being a stand-up comedian, because I really struggle with going to sleep at night, and my brain's just wired all of the time, and especially when I go to bed, and I'm sure a lot of us feel that way. But I just, if I know that I have to be up in the morning, I can't go to sleep. But if I don't have to be up, like if it's just like, oh, I got a podcast at 4 and I got a show at 8, I'll fall asleep and not a bother, not a care in the world. But if I have anything that is before 11 a.m, I'm just like, I'm not gonna get up, I'm not gonna go, I'm not gonna wake the alarms, I'm not gonna, and then I'm hearing every noise and everything, and daydreaming about ridiculous things, like if I were like a CIA agent or some bullshit, you know. So it's really annoying. And last night, I knew I had to, so I booked the Amtrak, because I've never gotten Amtrak before here, 7.5 years. And I was like, that sounds fancy. And it was on sale for $40. So, and I'm getting a free hotel. So I was like, and Leland's driving back. So I was like, I'll just do that. I'll get that. I'll be able to see the views. So I had to get up at 5:30 this morning, and I slept maybe, it doesn't even feel like I slept. Maybe it was like 2 or 3 hours, because I was like in and out and like waking up, checking my phone. When I got up, it was like thunder, lightning, like, you know, like where it's like thunder and then there's the lightning. So I was walking and I was like, okay, don't get electrocuted now on your anniversary. That'd be so shit. Cause I'm at the point in my relationship where I totally trust Leland, and 100%, like, I'd never even dream. I've no fear of him ever going off with a woman. But now my fears are that one of us will die, because I'm so happy. And I'm like, oh. I was like, well, is that like such a fucking Irish thing that we just can't ever be happy? Like, literally, he'll be like, okay, I'm on my way. And I'd be like, okay, just like look left and right when you're crossing the road. I told him the other day, I was like, if I die, you can get with another person, but you can only be with her like lifetime, long term, because if we're ghosts or the afterlife is real, that bitch better not come back as a ghost and try to date you then as well. So you need to be very clear with all these women afterwards. But yeah, so I was like, I'm gonna get fucking electrocuted now, and but I didn't, obviously. And I also don't know how weather works, so I don't even know if that's possible. And then I got on the train, and got to Amtrak and it was like delays. And you know what's so annoying? I hate when people are like passive aggressive cunts, because it's like there was a guy and he was like shouting about the delays, but I you know, we kind of queued up to talk to him, and I was just trying to say, because my train wasn't on the board at all, so I just wanted to be like, oh, is that train delayed or just not coming? And instead of him like letting me ask that, I was like, yeah, I just want to ask. And because he was like, yes, what would you like to ask? And I was like, yeah, I just want to ask about my train. He goes, yes, even for you, they're delayed. And I'm like, you fucking cunt. Anyway, so then I went in and I finally figured out that my train, that I guess I'd booked a ticket that was going to North Carolina and my stop was in DC. And it was also delayed. They were all delayed. But like the thing is, they're shouting about these delays, but it's like in Amtrak, which is like a big like church. It'd be like, you know, when someone shouts in like a kind of church or a hall, their voice gets lost. So I have no fucking clue what he's saying. Eventually some guy came around, but I'd been waiting there for 2 hours. And some guy came around and said that someone had crashed their car in New Jersey at 3 a.m. I know we're all making the presumption that was probably a drunk driver. I don't 100% know, but I feel like that might have been a drunk driver. But maybe it was just late coming home, the storm. But whatever way they managed to crash the car, they crashed it into a big pole that carried all the power. And that pole landed over 4 tracks. So power gone, 4 tracks gone. And I guess the trains have to come back into New York in the morning and then get cleaned and go back out. So there was no trains in New York. And yeah, they were like, you can kind of wait around. We don't really know. We won't be till 11. I'm sure I'd been there since 7. And it's at this stage, it's 10 to 9. And I looked up and there was like, and there's these like buses and they're like mad rat, like they have bad, bad reviews. They're like really cheap and they're like kind of dodge. And so, and I got one before and I remember someone being like, one of those buses had like crashed or something and they're dodgy. But anyway, I looked up and there was one coming right outside the building. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go to the toilet. And if I'm done in time, the toilet, because it's way longer. It's like, it says it's 4 hours and 45 minutes and the train was going to be 3. But I was like, I'll be waiting here for 2 hours because they said they'll definitely know nothing until 11. So I might as well just be on a bus for that 2 hours and get down for sure, because if they at 11, if they're still not sure. So I go to the toilet, I run out, and it's 1 minute to 9, and the bus driver's like, yeah, do you have a ticket? And I was like, no, but I had my phone up and I saw that the tickets were $25, and it would have been 28 by the time you paid the service fee on your phone. And he was like, okay, $40. And I was like, I'm not paying 40. And he's like, yeah, well, it's 40. And I was like, no, I'll just buy a ticket online. And he goes, okay, 30. And I go, no, ticket's 25 online. And he goes, okay, 25. So then I just gave him 25 cash. So I actually saved $4. Even though I lost the Amtrak ticket, because they were like, we don't know if we'll refund you because you should really wait here the whole time. Fuck off. So then I got on the bloody bus and I only had one stop, which was in Philly. And this guy was like psycho driver. It was meant to get there at like 1:45, 2, and he got there at 1:10. But he was just like, zoom. So it was great, but absolutely exhausted now because I barely slept and I had to do a ton of work. And yeah, so I wanted to, for this solo episode, and also as well, I want to shout out because, well, firstly, everybody and anybody who listens to the podcast, and I'll do this as a real personal episode, but anybody who listens to the podcast, thank you so much. Anybody who follows me on Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff and YouTube, and if you don't and you're on those, head over, because I post a lot of stand-up and you know, it's just because I just know that, like, you know, not a lot of people can get out shows, and yeah, you know, I want to grow a following and all that stuff, but I really, really appreciate it. And so what was the point in this? Oh yeah, so someone who does follow me, and I don't know him, but we're from the same town, and his name's Keith Feely, and he's really, really nice. He reached out to me and said he had won ringside tickets to the Katie Taylor match, but he couldn't make it out and he didn't want them to go waste. And it was Williams Hill Bookies gave them to him, so and shout out to them too. But I couldn't, and I talk more extent about it in the Patreon, so I won't talk too much about it here, but I just wanted to give him a shout out. But I couldn't take them because I had already like dragged like a bunch of my non-Irish girlfriends to buy tickets for this, who had no stakes in the boxing match, and made them get nice, like we had good seats, so I wasn't going to ditch them. I told him I couldn't do it, and he was like, is there anybody you know that would really like appreciate them, or that you'd really like to give them to? And then there's a friend of mine who listens to my and I didn't get to say this part on the solo podcast, so this won't be repeating, but he listens to, or he doesn't listen to my Patreon, he's just a friend who pays for my Patreon, but he's really nice, and he's just a good man. So I was like, you know what, I think that'd be like my way of giving back, because I always feel like, you know, you want to like give back to people who've supported you, obviously. So for all you listeners, if I ever make it big, don't worry, I promise. I won't get you tickets to my show, because you'd be sick of me by then. I'll get you tickets to other shows. but yeah, so I said, could I pass them on to him? And he was like, absolutely. And then they called each other, and sure, he was delighted. And big shout out to Keith. That was so nice. Literally couldn't give them to a better person. But then Keith messaged me the next day saying, it was so funny because so my friend picked a guy to bring who's also one of my friends, but I knew he had tickets. So I kind of never, you know, anyway, I wanted to give it to this guy because he had, you know, he's been such a supporter of my Patreon. And and as soon as he offered it to the other guy, the guy just, you know, ditched his friends and was like, yeah, I want to be ringside. They were literally right at the ring. Like, they have like a full size photo of Katie Taylor. And turns out that the guy he brought is like marrying someone related to Keith. So it's such a small world in the end. Like, it's so mad how it all, like, Ireland is so small. And isn't it so great then? Because then he can be like, oh, well, I gave you, when they meet up again next time, he'll be like, I gave you that ticket. And I message the guy saying like, oh, you actually know each other through a very close connection. But so Irish, right? Such a small world. I don't know if I ever mentioned this on the podcast before, but I, you know, friendships are relationships, so I guess I can talk about it. But one of my good friends, I haven't seen her in a long time, but I worked with her in a bar for about 6 months. This was like 6.5 years ago. No, probably 7 actually. Oh God, I have to breathe. It's hard when you're talking about yourself because you don't take a breath. But it's about 7.5 years ago, and we were working together for like months, and then I tagged a picture. This is when I used to use Facebook. God, I hate Facebook now. Every time I go on like once every 6 months, and I'm like, oh, I can't even. I don't even know how to work this anymore because they change it so much. But I had tagged her in a picture, and my dad messaged me being like, I didn't know you were there with such and such. And I was like, how did you know her? And he was like, you used to play together as kids. So I used to work with her father. Like, so random. And then it turned out when we like delved more into it, I had worked at her father's 60th just as like a bartender or server or something at the time. So wild, like such a small world. Like, when we were hanging out in New York, we had no idea we had known each other back in Ireland. Just thought, ah, we're two other Irish people. But yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, so I have little notes here because I was also reading the new Sally Rooney book, and it was making me think about I'm not finished it, but she was talking, there was a paragraph in it where it's like maybe she never lets herself be happy and always pushes away good things, and you know, isn't comfortable being happy because then it could be all taken away. And I think that's like just something I've just been thinking about because I'm now in a year relationship with Leland. I think that's like realizing why I was dating all these guys, bad guys, was kind of like a form of like metaphorically cutting myself, if that makes sense, because it kind of gave me that, made me feel shitty, and it's easier to be in that zone, and that's how I know to be, and that's how I know what to deal with. But like dating a nice guy, and that it could work out, and then we could just break up for like normal reasons, I don't know, that was really scary, if I'm honest. I know that sounds like kind of silly, but yeah, it just got me thinking. And I don't know, I think like, I hope for any of you guys listening, if you feel that way, to like, yeah, maybe look at that and try to work on it. Because I'm like, worst comes to worst, and me and Leland don't end up together forever and in the next life, like, God, I sound like such a psycho, I'm not gonna ever regret having this relationship because I've learned so much. Like, I've learned to definitely chill out a lot, and learned, even when we first started dating, like how much hang-ups I'd brought in from like dating possessive and jealous and cheaters or whatever, and then just like painting all men with that brush or whatever, and having to like unlearn all of that. And he's so like patient and calm, and it's great to, and like actually just to date someone nice, and when they say what they say, they mean it, or that they really want a relationship. And I think a lot of like women who want relationships, especially like maybe in like modern dating, and I can talk more for women because obviously I'm a woman, and because that's what I hear my girlfriends say, so I'm sure there's guys who experience the same too, is that you're a bit traumatized from dating because so many men will allude to the wanting a girlfriend but then don't commit to it. And I think they don't tell you that they don't want to commit, or they do but they say, but maybe, you know, or they say like, I'm not ready but I really like you, so you wait around. And so we're all just a bit traumatized that when you do meet someone nice, you're like, sure, you know, they're like, oh, I really want to be in a relationship and I want long term, and you're just kind of like, yeah, we'll see, pal, we'll fucking see. Like, I was bitter, I was like a fucking like lady with a cigarette, you know, like an old like Irish granny, like, yeah, you know, like just kind of like, sure. And so after a few months passed, I really got to chill out because I was like, oh, he really is genuine, he really does mean these things, he really does care about me, and he's not gonna go off with who, you know, whatever invention in my head. And it's hard because it's like, as people, you know, you're taught that, okay, learn from your experiences, learn from your mistakes. So it's really hard to not kind of go, okay, well, I've dated so many shitty nightmares, or I've dated so many people who didn't want a relationship but kind of led me on, that it's hard not to think, okay, well, the results are, it's like the opposite, you have to go, it's like, because in science you go off the results and the stats, the results and the stats aren't great but I guess you just gotta fucking trust the process. But I think what helped me was really just A, like looking in, working on yourself, all that shit, signing up for therapy, and B, and I didn't actually get on to the therapy until after Leland, but I had been like the past 2 years like actively trying to date different people and like trying to cut it off earlier and trying to meet, like be more attracted to nice people. And I said this on my post today on Instagram, but my dad had said to write down the qualities you want in a partner, and you've heard me say this to guests, but I swear by it, because even I know, and like someone's gonna be rolling their eyes now when I say manifest, but I believe that. And that, you know, even if it's not real, even if I'm deluding myself, who gives a fuck? I'd rather be delude myself and be happy than be like, everything's shit and everything's miserable and nothing works out. So I remember one time a friend of mine would ring me all the time for like positive talks. And that's what I'm good at. I'm an uplifter. And then tweeted that, like, calling me like a positive bitch, and was like, ha, isn't that so funny? I was like, no, it's not fucking funny, don't you fucking take my positivity if you're gonna then tweet that I'm a positive bitch. Because she was like, she said something like, shut up, you positive bitch, the world has ended or something. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. But I know that she meant it. And at the time, you know, it was so interesting, at the time I didn't actually communicate that actually made me feel kind of uncomfortable. And I'm sure if I had it, she would have been like, oh god, I didn't realize. But it wasn't going through therapy that I realized, oh, I can tell people when things make me uncomfortable. And now I tell friends all the time, I'll be like, oh, actually, you know, I don't really like that, I actually don't really like when you talk to me like that. And they'll be like, oh my god, I didn't even realize. And it's like so less confrontational than I've always thought it would be. And it's like, and then you don't build up resentment. So that's the second thing I learned from therapy, which is so great. I'm really pushing this therapy, but this is also just a pre talk to then when we talk with Maria next week. So hopefully she'll be able to give a more in-depth into like more serious mental health stuff and all the work she's done. Because I know she worked with like mental health organization, I hope I'm correct about that, but I feel like she did comedy shows for one time, so I'm sure she has an insight there. But anyway, totally went off on a rant there to say, what was I trying to say? I have to pause it. Okay, I literally had to do like an index in my head there of what I was talking about. But yes, to write down what you want in a partner, because then those qualities become attractive. Because I came over here to New York and I never felt attractive in Ireland, and I never felt like super confident. Like, I had great friends and I have great crack, but yeah, I don't know, I just didn't feel like, then I come over here, I feel like that movie, you know, Brooklyn, where she starts wearing nice clothes, and like, it's not necessarily that I'm wearing any clothes that are nice, so I just feel more confident, I feel like I found my style, still have terrible posture, but whatever, I'm working on that. And did I press recording this yet? And then just like the highest level of confidence, obviously, because I had to, because of comedy, and it feels great. And like, you know, when I started wearing like a bit of makeup when I came over, and so I was dating like kind of got like, you know, guys that I would think are very hot and sexy and totally ignoring, and then that personality that I was attracted to, which was like charismatic, narcissistic, possessive, jealous, all that stuff, all the bad stuff. Not that charismatic is bad, but turns out those type of guys were always very charismatic at the start. And I have also, like, that 2 years before Leland, like, I did have a lot of first, second, third dates with really nice guys, so I'm not talking about them, because one of them actually listens to the podcast and he's so nice. But that was like trying to get on that journey. That was like where, like, it's, I felt like I had an intervention between my dad and my cousin. After I dated the pulse checker, the guy who didn't believe in space, my dad and my cousin were like, Katie, you need an intervention. Like, this is ridiculous. So I started writing out those qualities and then finding people who had those qualities much more attractive. And it's funny because by the time I started dating Leland, right before I started dating him, I'd gone on dates with some like really nice guys. There was like a really nice like guy who I went to his apartment, and he was like a mathematical genius. He was like a, what's that? Like a beautiful mind. He had like maths on the fucking mirror equations and window because he'd run out of space on his big whiteboard, and he was just lovely. And another guy, he was lovely, but like, you know, but I was like, okay, like I'm not feeling the vibe. So I got to find someone who has these qualities that I feel the vibe with. And by the time I met Leland, I stopped wearing makeup in the pandemic because I was just like, what's the point? And so it kind of like came a little full circle, but then I ended up meeting the person that I'm like so happy to be with. And I said on that list, so, and it was all basic shit, you know, nice, kind, sweet, funny, you know. Yeah, I know it's silly, but sometimes you just need to write the basic shit as well. And then like more specific, like doesn't smoke, just because I used to smoke cigarettes and I miss them a lot, so I don't need to be around that. And one of the things I wrote, makes me tea, because I just always, I remember a childhood friend telling me that her dad makes tea and breakfast for her mum every day and brings it up to bed, and that's what she saw growing up. And I just thought, that is amazing, that's exactly what I want. And I swear to God, still, and it's a year later, and I always was a bit like, at the start, like when Leland started doing this, every time I'd stay over his, or anytime he'd stay at mine, he'd get up and make tea in the morning. And it was just something I mentioned, like he made tea one morning, he got up, he was like, do you want anything? I was like, oh, I'd love tea. And then he just started, kept doing it. But I always thought, oh, we'll see how long this lasts. But it's a fucking year later, still doing it. I fucking manifested that. It's not like I told him that that was on the list. I think it's really important to just write down what you want. And all of this to be said, God, sometimes, how do I have a job where I'm talking with actual words? I don't know what I'd be saying. All this I'm saying as well because I'm like signed up to this Reddit dating app, and there were so many stories. I was reading them the other day and I was like, there were just like people so depressed with modern dating. I'll read them out, and I don't mean to make you sad. I'll go find them on my phone 1 second. All right, is this recording? Perfect. Okay, oh my God, actually I shouldn't read this out, this is so sad, but, so this is like a Reddit, why am I on Reddit? It's God's nightmare, but anyway, so now I get emails, and it said, dating is BS, I sometimes really hate dating, it's just so exhausting, you meet someone, isn't that so funny how weird our voice gets between talking and reading, like why can't I just read it the way I talk, why does it have to be like, I can't do it, because look at this now, I sometimes really hate dating, why do they teach us like that, I want to read the way I do stand up, because I do stand up the way I talk, why can't I guess because I would never write it like this, but anyway, I'm going back to my reading voice, don't judge me, whew. I sometimes really hate dating, it's just so exhausting, you meet someone, you get your hopes up, and then they ghost you, are you suddenly not ready for commitment, etc. I wish I could just wake up in a stable, loving relationship and having to go through the process of getting to know someone over and over again and not having to go through get to know someone over and over. How do you guys keep going after failed talking stages? Honestly, reading that, when I first read that, I felt like triggered, because it's just like, for anybody who's in a healthy relationship, I showed it to Leland and I was like, don't send me back out there, please. But you know, for people who want relationships, it's like you can't give up. Because I was like a long time, and you guys know a long, long, long time looking for that. And I think what helped me was kind of not investing any long period of time in someone who wasn't looking for a relationship. And I quickly would find out if they were looking for a relationship. And I only scared away the ones who didn't want that. So it was great. Didn't waste my time. And then, because I never wasted longer than 3 months. And even 3 months is exhausting. And I started to shorten that down as well as I was meeting people. And then, like, just going on tea or coffee dates with, like, multiple people. But you don't have to kiss. You don't have to do anything intimate until you feel ready. But, like, getting to know people on, like, a more personal level. And that really, really helped me. But I was looking for a relationship. I was looking for, like, a partner, because it's so fucking hard in New York. And I got exactly what I want. You know, and it's funny as well, because those guys where I had that instant connection with, where it was like instant passion, amazing sex, those weren't guys that I could have a long-term connection with. And with Leland now, the sex has gotten better, like, every time. So it's like, oh, you can, like, meet someone who's great and sweet and nice. You might not have that burning passion, but it's a different type of passion, and it's one you can build on and get to know each other's bodies and, like, figure out what you like, and figuring out you like things you didn't even know you liked. And, like, just I guess for me before, I was so like deluded in my, like, romantic comedies and romantic movies and all the bloody love stuff I'd read when I was younger, that I thought it had to be this fiery passion the whole time. And, you know, like Bridgerton and stuff, and it's like, oh no. But yeah, that's really sad. Anyway, I think this is the thing as well, is just like, we need a dating app that just has people who are looking for relationships on it. And, like, they can't be liars. And if you find out that they're liars, and I know people still need to get to know each other, but then you wouldn't feel like, I think the problem is that people are investing time in people who never really wanted a relationship. So they're just getting what they need and then kind of bowing out and ghosting. Whereas I think if someone wants a relationship and they're looking for that, and you're getting to know people, and then you say, look, I just don't think we connect on this level, so I'm going to move on to the next person. Grand. It's the ghosting too. It's really hard. I posted a meme today on my Instagram story. Sorry, I just, like, swallowed my spit. And if you guys heard that, I'm not going back to edit it out. And if you did, I'm really sorry. That's disgusting. I just, it's really, you know. Anyway, but please sign up to my Patreon so you can hear more of these solo episodes. But, what was I saying? Fuck. Oh, I posted this thing on Instagram story. Like, I get these insane memes all the time on Instagram. And it said, like, if someone ghosts you, leave them. Respect the dead. Don't contact them. And I thought it was funny because I was like, respect the dead, but also a lot of time the dead don't stay dead, they come back. They need to just Sam Evans, actually my roommate, has a great joke about that, because he's been on the podcast before, and I said to him about his ex, I was like, when they first broke up, I was like, you're just grieving. Like, I know she didn't die, but it's a death of your relationship. It's the death of what you had with her, so you just have to grieve it. And then he wrote a great joke about how, like, his friend said that, me, and how, yeah, well, when the dead die, they have the respect to stay dead and not go on living. And he was like, it's not like when my granny died. I'm butchering this joke, God, I shouldn't be telling it, but you go look at it on his Instagram. But it's something like, it's not like when my granny died, she went on living and got hotter on Instagram. So, and there's more to it, but I don't want to fuck it up more. Then someone else wrote, I agree, I'm so fucking burnt out. I feel let on. I feel not wanted. I feel like I don't fit in. Oh, I want someone I can be goofy and silly with, make coffee or tea, be lazy with, laugh, travel. I took an 8-year break from dating, therapy, went back to school, and I can't really connect with anyone. I feel most the guys only talk to me because they're bored, and I am someone no one feels a connection with. And the one guy I did, he just couldn't make me a priority. I'm so tired too, friend. Oh God, I need to get off this Reddit. But I think, like, for this person, they're just, I guess, jaded. And it's really hard. And I think all the things that they want, like, oh, someone to be goofy with, silly with, make coffee with and tea with. And that doesn't happen instantly, you know? Like, when I first started dating Leland, I was really thinking about the advice that Fergal had given the Irish guy, the Irish dating guy, and Anwar, and there was another therapist, and three of them had said, you know, give a nice person 4 to 5 dates because nice people take a little more to open up. And it's actually a bit of a red flag sometimes when like what we said with Ray and stuff. Like, I think comedians find it easier to open up, and then people who will trauma bond will open up really quickly. So like, I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. I just wasn't like I was sure straight away, and he knows that, but I was used to dating more toxic people. And then the more he got comfortable with me, I would even say as far as he probably wasn't until like 3 months, like super like playful and comfortable with me. Like, he was, but he was still a bit guarded, and it took him a while because he was a little introverted to really open up. And I probably didn't see that until, and I remember even like dating half a year and being like, oh, he's still opening up, there's still parts of his personality I haven't seen. And so like all that like silly and goofy stuff and the be lazy with the things that this person's saying, like, that takes time to build. So firstly, you got to find somebody who's looking for a relationship, and then you got to be willing to invest the time to get to know them. And it's hard though, because I think people want it instantly. And then secondly, if you do invest the time with multiple people, it can seem like a waste of time. You just have to be kind of like, look, invest it, and if it doesn't work out, what did you learn? Did you have a great time? Like, try and enjoy, because I don't regret the other guys that I dated, be it the shitty ones or the good ones where it just didn't work out, because I learned a lot. Like, learned a lot about myself and my own fucking toxic behavior, and how to, and that's the thing too, like, if you ever come out of a relationship, no matter what, you have to be like, okay, what could I do better, what could I work on? And it's a real hard pill to swallow, but no one's perfect, and we all have things we need to work on. And you know, even though I was dating like Looney Tunes sometimes, like the guy with the pulse checker, like, a part of me loved the kind of like what's gonna happen next. Oh, he has sex's underwear, what's gonna happen next? Oh, he's telling me how to dress. And it was like a comfort zone, because that's kind of like what I knew. And so I had to be like, why do I like being wrapped in red flags? I need to work on this. So yeah, and like how to communicate too. And that was a big lesson I learned with like Leland. Like, I think I'm so direct and I'm a great communicator, but he, even though I was communicating to him, he wasn't able to hear that because he communicates a different way. It's all mad. But anyway, back to that's why you need therapy. But my point is, it's just like, you just have to, you know, put yourself out there and give someone time to open up and go for nice people. And if they're telling you about their absolute mental trauma on the first date, take it as a red flag. Because that also means they're not in therapy. Because I can be arsed talking about my trauma. And if Leland has trauma, he still hasn't told me. So, and maybe he will one day, like, maybe, and maybe he has none. But I, you know, I don't really need to talk to him about that stuff because I talk to a therapist about it. And even with my therapist now, it's gotten to the point where I'm just telling her, I don't want to lose her because I'm like afraid, in case I'm like afraid something will happen and I'll need her. And it's so cheap that I'm like, it's like I'm keeping her on as a retainer now at this, I'm like looking for things. I'm like talking to her about my diet recently, but I also don't know what's the length of time you should go to therapy. So yeah, I'll let you know when I figure that part out. I'm sure it's obviously different for every person. Brendan Saglow swears that you should just go forever. I don't think that's necessary. I think I'll stop when I feel like 110% secure that, like, if something bad does happen again, I'll have the skills to deal with it. It's just really nice not having nightmares. I still have like mad vivid dreams, so I do feel a bit exhausted when I wake up, because if I were a conspiracy theorist, I'd believe that I was going off into different realities at night, because for fuck's sake, I'm living like mad lives in my dreams. But it's better than nightmares, I'll tell you that. So I'm trying to think, what else did I want to say to you before I go? Oh, I also saved this post on Instagram. Fuck, I have to go get ready because I have to go meet Leland for dinner for our anniversary. I will keep the post actually then for a Patreon. I'm going to write that down for a Patreon episode. So my plans are Patreon solo twice a month. Or maybe I'll talk about this post with Maria, but it's the different examples of gaslighting. And they were actually very subtle, that I think sometimes people maybe don't realize that they do it. Because even in the Sally Rooney book, you know, I don't know if you guys read it. I'm reading beautiful world, where are you? Some people were writing on my Instagram story like, it's great, and other people were like, I didn't like it. So whatever floats your boat. But there was another part in it where her mother really gaslights her, and you know, because she's like explaining to the mother like, look, when you fight with the sister, you expect me to get involved, but when my sister fights at me, you say you have nothing to, you want nothing to do with it. And then the mother responds, you're right, I'm a terrible mother, I don't do anything for you. And it's like, that's not what she said, and that's so annoying, and it's so gaslighty. And I think it's kind of can be like a tactic, maybe like people will like jump to, and it's like, if you catch yourself doing that, stop, because there's no need for that. When someone's trying to communicate, like, fucking listen to them and be like, okay, well, if I'm honest, I don't feel comfortable getting involved, and maybe I shouldn't, you know, force you to get involved either. But like, it just means having to, like, I don't know what I so anyway, I was so frustrated. So I saw these like suggestions of these different types of gaslighting, so I'll do that either on the Patreon or at Maria. If you have any stories about mental health or anything where you felt like, maybe in Ireland or wherever you're from, where what could help with like destigmatizing it, and is it stigmatized where you're from? What are the examples? Do you have any mental health issues? Have you like, what route did you take to getting your mental health to where you want to be? You know, I have a friend who's like doing ketamine therapy. I have a friend who's doing TMZ. No, oh my god, I think that's a TV channel, so never mind. But I'll have to find out from her. But I'll have a great chat with Maria, so that'll be up early on the Patreon on Thursday. And then I'll still do a bunch of interviews with people, because when I go to LA, I have a few interviews lined up as well. And then every once in a while I'll do a solo episode as well, just, you know, if it's too busy of a week and I can't get a guest. And for the Patreon, sorry there's no video for this episode. I'm just so used to doing the solos without a video, I forgot to put it on. But also, I look like shit because I was traveling all over the bloody place today just to get down here to spend my anniversary at Leland. So, yeah. But Patreon is /theshiftpodcast. Instagram, Katie Boyle Comic. On TikTok, YouTube. DM me if you have any stories that you'd like to share for next week's episode. And if you want to sign up to Patreon, it's pay what you want for the moment, but as of next week, because I'm changing it all up, it'll be different. So I'll be putting the older episodes in like an archive, and they'll be more expensive to go back through, just because, you know, I'm just like, oh god, what was I saying, you know? I'm always embarrassed a month later, like, oh god. But yeah, so even though one of the episodes recently was a whole episode about The Ultimatum, just because I binged it and I'm obsessed with these shitty reality shows. But yeah, so that's up there as well. And also a lot of my stand-up is there. So I put all like work in progress jokes that I'm working on, and new tags I add. So they're all up there as well. But other than that, I'm going to go. Fucking talked for 51 minutes there. I love you all. Thanks again for the support. And I hope you like this solo episode and my ramblings, and yeah, I'm just going through my notes to make sure I said everything. But yeah, and so Katie Taylor is the best, as best, and I talked about that in my solo episode on the Patreon, so I won't do too much about it. But literally best night ever. Everybody there was great vibe. It was like, just like it was so funny, because my friend was like joking, she was like, we'll be because I was so tired going there, she was like, we'll be energized off the energy. And I was slagging her, being like, oh, we'll be vibed off the vibes. And then when we got there, I was like, I really am vibing off these vibes. It was just the best night. So Katie Taylor's amazing. Can't believe got to be in history. And it was so like inspirational, because it's like, as a woman doing comedy, I do feel like it's a man's world. So as she's like boxing and being the first woman, two of the first women headlining Madison Square Garden, I was like, yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be successful like Katie, but in comedy. Different punches. But yeah, okay, fingers crossed. But yeah, so bye, love yous.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.